So let's start Megillas Esther in Perek Vav. It's in the middle of the story, but you guys don't know the beginning of the story where Ahasuerus kills Vashti, marries Esther instead, right? And Haman comes to power, comes out with a decree to kill out all the Jews, and Mordechai hears about it, and he gathers all the Jews, and they fast for 3 days. Esther herself fasts for 3 days as well. And the third day she goes to the king. She invites the king for a party with her, Haman, and Ahasuerus. Right?
Oh, to say before she went to the king, she had to make sure that he says you can come in. Otherwise,
right.
Haman made it with the thing that you come to the king without an invitation to take your head off.
That's right. That's right.
And he did that to make sure that nobody takes away his power.
Right, right, exactly. So she was literally risking her life,
right,
by coming to the king.
Because he hasn't called for her.
Right. Now, so what is her agenda? Her agenda is to save the Jews from this decree of Haman to kill them. So, well, what's her strategy exactly over here? She's inviting the king and Haman. Why does she need Haman at the party? The only person she needs to convince is Ahasuerus. Right? If she can convince Ahasuerus not to carry out the decree, then that's it. Why do you need Haman at the party?
Haman was thinking that she has something to do with Mordechai. Because he saw what was going on with Daniel.
Right, true. But why did Esther have to invite Haman to the party with Ahasuerus?
To make him feel that he was important and...
Okay, who cares? He already feels important.
Yeah. To try to seduce him in front of the king. No. You know, to see who he is.
He's not stupid, right? He's not going to do it in front of the king.
So but he did.
Well, okay, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. So the Mepharshim explained, the reason why she invited Haman was her intention was to throw off the Jews. What does that mean? What? To throw off the Jews. How so? The Jews, right, you know, they might have, you know, they're davening, right, they're fasting, they're doing everything in their power, you know, to do tshuva, to repent. But Esther figured, maybe deep down inside, you know, someone in the back row over there, or like, you know, some people in the shul, deep down inside, they'll think, you know what? You don't really need to daven that hard. Why? Because after all, we have a sister in the palace of the king, right? You know, we've got Esther, you know, high up over there. She'll take care of us, right? She's we can rely on her. We don't have to really worry, right?
We have an in.
Exactly, we have an end. So we don't really, they wouldn't dive into Hashem with such desperation. And so Esther, in order to throw off the Jews, she says, no, I don't want anyone to think that I'm taking to take care of things. I want them to dive in with the most deepest desperation possible. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to invite Haman to my party as well. And they're going to say, oh no, Esther is partying with Haman, mm-hmm. right? With our arch enemy. Right, she's having shots with him. Who knows what else she's doing? Right, that's it. We're lost. We're doomed. Right, our only person to turn to, the only solution we can have is to daven to Hashem. There's no one else. And that's the proper way to daven to Hashem. The proper way to daven to Hashem is understanding that there's no one else that can help your situation. Only Hashem. He's the only one. Right, that's why she did this. That's why she invites someone as well. So the first day she invites someone, right? Now Haman goes home, right? He's so full of himself. He's, wow, look, I'm second rank to the king. You know, I have this decree against the Jews. And not only that, but Esther invites me to a private party with her and the king. Beautiful. Life couldn't be better. Right? He walks home. And who does he see on the way home? His enemy. The person that he hates in the whole entire world. Mordechai. Stupid Jew that just wouldn't bow down to him. And it says, what does it say? It says, V'kol zeh inenu shoyveli. Everything I have is worth nothing. Zero. When I see Mordechai. Can you imagine? The guy has, he's living, he's got riches beyond belief, right? He's got covet, he's got honor, but he's second to the king. You know, he can kill the Jews, he can do pretty much whatever he wants. Everyone's bowing down to him. He's got a huge, large family who love him, right? He's got literally fame, riches, any dream that anyone can possibly have. And he says, everything is worth zero. Right? It's unbelievable. It just gives us a human illustration of when a person is engulfed in desire and self-indulgence, that's all that matters to him. Like one thing, one tiny little thing completely throws him off. Everything else is not worth it to him. Right? It's unbelievable to see it illustrated over here. Anyway.
Well, is it Mordechai or is it the Jews? Period.
No, it's Mordechai. It's Mordechai. V'kol zeh inenu shoveli, v'chol eis asher ani roye es Mordechai, Hayahudi.
Why is he different than any other Jew?
Because he's the only one who wouldn't bow down.
Oh, yes, it's
but the other Jews bowing down to him?
Yeah, all the other Jews bowed down to him.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Yeah.
But theoretically, it would be easier to kill Mordechai instead all nation.
So the whole nation's got to wait. It's got to wait almost a full year, right? 11 months, right? Right now, where the Megillah is holding right now is the beginning of Pesach. First day of Pesach. That's where the Megillah is holding right now. He's got to wait another 11 months to kill out all the Jews. Right? So yeah, Mordechai is going to die in 11 months, but that means that for the next 11 months, he has to suffer day in and day out to watch Mordechai standing there not bowing down to him. Right? So he's like, that's it. I'm done with this. So he goes home, he tells his wife, he's so upset. His wife says, don't worry about it. I got a perfect plan for you. Build a tree, 50 amas tall, and go to the king and ask for special permission to execute Mordechai today. Right now. Right? Amman says, great plan. Let's do it. So he builds the tree, builds the hanging tree, and he's about to execute his plan. Meanwhile, this is where Perek Vav opens up. Meanwhile, Achshverosh is lying in his bed. And it says that he actually had a nightmare that night. He had a terrible nightmare that someone is trying to kill him. Right? And you know those nightmares that they're extremely vivid. You're experiencing it. You're living through it. And you really, mamash, feel that it's real. It's actually happening to you. Then you wake up, right, cold sweat, and you're like, you're panting. You can't catch your breath. Right? That's exactly what Achashverosh was going through. Right? He dreams that someone is chasing after him, trying to kill him, and he wakes up in the middle of the night, right? He's so disturbed, he's so bothered, right? He's thinking, like, what's going on over here? Who's trying to kill me?
He didn't trust Haman anyway from the beginning.
From the beginning, he did. Beginning, he did.
No,
but only today.
He knew Haman was up to something. He didn't trust him completely.
Why not?
Whatever
he had to do with the other, what he did and everything else, but he had in his mind that Haman was trying to take over his kingdom and get rid of him too.
No, but this is, you could say,
At this point, not in the beginning, Big Shur and Sheresh
were kind of working for Haman.
Really? I didn't see that.
That's what it said. And
interesting.
Because they lost their job, they got demoted. They had a nice job, gotten the king, and all of a sudden they lost their job, and they were planning to. It said they're planning to, you know, poison the king, kill the king, whatever way they were planning, and take his head and go over to the Greeks.
Really?
Because this is the same time that the Greeks are trying to take over the world.
Interesting.
Oh.
Did not see that.
He found out and he took the two guys and he. It says they hung them, but it said before they hung them, they put some spikes in the ground and they took them and sat them on these spikes, went wow. right through them. Then he hung them to show all the people that.
Gosh. That's pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
A real ache.
Interesting. I didn't see that. I saw the big son of Sarash. They wanted to kill Achashverosh because they were they were the guards of the king at night, and they used to have a nice easy job. The king would sleep all night, and they would watch the ball game or whoever just hang out schmooze. But then once Achashverosh married Esther, right? He was with Esther pretty much all night, every night. And he was constantly asking for things, room service, bring me this, bring me that. And instead of having a nice, comfortable job where they can lay back and do nothing, they had to, be room service, all night through. So that's why they were so upset at him, and they decided to kill him, and that's when Mordechai found out the plan, and he told Achashverosh, and they killed them.
This is from Moam Lois.
Interesting.
Takes Mordechai from all over the place.
When the king woke up there, and Haman was coming, to ask him to they can get rid of him.
Right.
So they said to him, "Hey, the king, watch out! Haman's coming." They didn't like Haman. They knew he was
right.
up to something.
Right.
His guys. He says, "Hey, watch out! Haman's
right.
coming here." And
right.
the king already.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's see. Let's pick it up. So that night, right, he has this nightmare, right? And he wakes up in a cold sweat. He's got this terrible feeling that's gripping him that someone's trying to kill him. Right? So he starts thinking, who could possibly be trying to kill me? Then he remembers what happened that day. Right? That day, he had a party with Esther and Haman. So he's thinking to himself, why is Haman invited by Esther to the party? What's he doing there?
Something's going on.
Right, if Esther wants a date night, with me, okay, fine. But what's Haman stuck in the middle? Right, so he's thinking, what's probably going on is Haman and Esther are maybe having an affair. And Haman is going to try to kill him, take over, become king, and marry Esther. Right, that's probably what's going on. So if so, why isn't it that none of my loyal people are telling me about it? Right? The king has, he has got enemies, but he's got some loyal people too, right? Why aren't my loyal people revealing the plan? So he says, maybe what happened was is someone saved my life before, and I never repaid them. And that's why my loyal people are saying, it's not worth it to save the life of the king. I'm never going to get payment. Never going to get a reward. So he says, what I need to do right now is to reward those who saved me in the past, to make it famous, everyone know, it's very worth it to save the life of the king. And then my loyal people will come forth and tell me what's really going on over here. Right? What's really going on? So he calls the Sefer HaZichronos, right, the Book of Memories. And who was in charge of the Sefer HaZichronos?
Haman's son.
Haman's son, Shimshi. Right? Shimshi, the Haman's son, was in charge. And originally, when Mordechai saved the life of Achashverosh, from the whole plot of Bigsam Vaseresh, when they tried to kill him, Shimshi actually wrote it down. Achashverosh made him write it down. But immediately afterwards, right, when Achashverosh was not looking, when he took it away, he erased the whole thing about Mordechai. Why? Because he hated Mordechai. Right? He was the son of his father. And he knew Mordechai was the arch enemy of the family. So he erased it. Right? And now he opens up the Sefer HaZichronos. Right, this is a few years later. And what happens? It opens up right to the place, the whole story of Mordechai. And he does not believe his eyes. What's going on? I erased this.
What's it doing here?
Right? What's it doing here? Right? It says the Malach Gavriel came and rewrote it in the book. And it was right there, right in front of his face. So he quickly tries to turn the page to find something else to read. Right, and the wind comes and turns it back to that page. Right, he tries to turn the page. The wind comes again, turns it back. So he's going back and forth, Right? Finally, the king says, okay, just read. Come on. Well, I'm waiting here. I'm sitting here. Come on, just read it. So he's forced to read the story of Mordechai saving the life of the king. And, you know, what can he do? Right? So then the king turns to his servants and he says, you know, what do we do for Mordechai? How do we repay him? What reward did we give him? And they say, we didn't give him anything. We didn't pay him at all. And then what happens next? Haman knocks on the door.
Here he is.
Right?
In the middle of, now, just, in the, middle of the night.
It's amazing to see, right? For a few things. First of all, see, it's amazing to see the hatred of Haman, that Haman had to Mordechai. Right? Because he's coming to execute his plan, to execute Mordechai. This literally in the middle of the night, right? 2 o'clock in the morning, right? Achashverosh woke up from a nightmare in the middle of the night, and he's coming 2 o'clock in the morning to wake the king up in order to kill Mordechai. Right? That's, it's just astonishing to see. Another amazing thing to see over here is how the, it's illustrated the plan of Hashem, right? Hashem wanted, once the Jews repented, and they davened, and they changed their ways, and then Hashem says, okay, I'm going to save the Jews, right? So it's amazing to see how Hashem illustrates everything to come into place exactly the way it's supposed to in order to save the Jews, right? So timing is everything. So Achashverosh just decided he's got to honor Mordechai, and it's got to be lavish, it's got to be out there, it's got to be famous, so everyone will know, right? And then his loyal people will come forth and tell him about this plan that of who's trying to kill him. And who comes now? Haman, right? The timing is amazing.
Haman.
There we go, guys. Come on, make noise. Let's go. There we go. Right? So Haman walks in, and Achashverosh turns to Haman with a trick question. He tells him, what do you think we should do to someone the king wants to honor? Right? Now this is, by the way, this is the source that we know that the Megillah was written Beruach HaKodesh. Right? The Megillah was written with divine knowledge. How do we know? Because it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Haman Beliboy. Haman said in his heart, saying to himself, how do we know what his thoughts were? Right? Obviously, the Megillah was written Beruach HaKodesh. So Haman says, he's thinking to himself, right, who does the king want to honor, right? He wants to honor me, right, of course.
I'm the greatest guy here.
Right, I'm great, right, exactly. Right? So, so what am I going to suggest, right? So he suggests, now Achashverosh, by the way, he also knows exactly what Haman is thinking, right? He knows that Haman thinks that he's the guy that's supposed to be honored, right? So Achashverosh, he was pretty clever, right? He asked him the question in a way, right, a trick question, to see what Haman thinks. And it's got twofold, we'll see. So Haman says, you know what you should do? You should give this person the king's royal clothes, right? You should give him the king's crown. And you should put him on the king's horse, the king's personal horse, right? The king had a personal horse, right? Just like, you know, the president has got his personal limousine, right? Personal car, right? Motorcade, right? Can you give the king's personal horse, and then ride him in the streets of Shushan, and cry out, "This is what's going to happen to the man that the king wants to honor." Now, Achashverosh knew that Haman is thinking that for himself. So, in his mind,
never trusted him anyway.
Right. Well, right now, this distrust is coming out. So, right now, he's thinking everything is falling into place. Oh, so what I thought was correct. Haman does want my position. He wants to wear my crown. He wants to wear my clothes. He wants my horse. Clearly, he's going to kill me and take over my position, right? And marry Esther. So what does he tell Haman? Take everything you did and give that to Mordechai, right? Can you imagine, right? The feeling in Haman's, in, like, you know how, like, you get this feeling where your heart just, like, sinks to the floor? Like, that's exactly what Haman felt. And this is probably my favorite part of the Megillah, right, where Haman, right, you imagine, like, he's thinking, like, he's at top of the world, right, doing great, he's about to kill his archenemy, right, he's about to get all this honor, he's already playing it in his head, and boom, everything on a dime switches, and now he's got to give this great honor to the person he despises most in the whole entire world, Mordechai. So what does he do? He turns to Achashverosh and he says, Achashverosh, right? He's like, the guy is literally desperate. It says that his hands started shaking, his knees started knocking, right? His whole body starts trembling, right? He's literally stuttering, right? He's about to have a heart attack, right? He's stuttering and he says, but your honor, he literally starts stuttering. He says, please, right? Remember the 10,000 talents of silver that I promised you in order to kill the Jews? Take the 10,000 talents of silver, right? And don't make me give this honor to Mordechai. Right? So Achashverosh says, you will give me the 10,000 talents of silver.
And
you will still give this honor to Mordechai. Right? And so Haman says, you know what? Right? He's getting like more and more desperate by the second. He says, your honor, please. Me and all my sons, my 10 sons that are ministers to you, are going to become your personal slaves, right? But don't make me give this honor to Mordechai, right? Achashverosh says, you and your sons are going to be my slaves, and you're going to still give this honor to Mordechai, right? See how he's knocking him down one thing after the next, right? Now, Haman is literally getting desperate. He says, your honor, kill me, and do not make me give this honor to Mordechai. Right? He's literally willing to give up his life. Right? It's astonishing. Right? What's going on over here? Like, it's so hard to understand. Okay, I understand, you know, it's uncomfortable, you know, he's your enemy, it's embarrassing, it's humiliating, but okay, you know, you got a good life, you got a great family, you got riches, you got influence, you got power. Okay, so it'll be a very uncomfortable few hours. But then you'll get over it. You know, go to therapy, right? Hire the best psychologist in town to deal with your emotions, right? And get back on the horse, right? Enjoy your life. You're literally willing to give up your life rather than give honor to Mordechai? What's wrong with you? Right? It's astonishing. But again, this illustrates the negativity of bad character traits. If a person is engulfed in gaiva, in arrogance, he can't fathom the idea of honoring your enemy is literally worse than death. Worse than death itself. It tastes so bad, so distasteful, that he's literally willing to die.
But do you believe this is something wrong with this quality? If the situation was completely opposite.
For example, what do you mean?
Somebody is bad, somebody is good. In our case, Aman is a bad person. Mm-hmm. But it can be a different situation. Somebody is really good, he's ready to give his life only to be not honor somebody who is really bad.
Someone really good, wouldn't give up his life for that.
No, but I ask you, what is a situation when, for example, Aman, yes, in this case, Aman so hate, he's ready to die.
But it wasn't because he hated him, it was because he was so arrogant.
Yeah, no arrogant, but for example, if it's arrogant, is bad or not?
Yeah,
but
very bad.
For example, if what you choose?
What would I do?
Yeah.
I would give him the honor, I wouldn't give up my life.
Does you agree to continue life?
He wouldn't hate a person so much.
No, but there is a situation.
There's people like that.
Some people
just
prefer
hate
to die instead to be humiliated.
He
it's not so. Haman
is from Asaph.
How what?
From Asaph. Would you say his hatred of Mordechai is Asaph's hatred of Yaakov?
Right.
I know there is a lot of situations.
You want to kill
him. Right. True. So, God, you're saying that this happens all the time.
Not all the time. For example, there is a different story during the World War II when the Nazi was went to humiliate Jews. He asked to do something completely
hate for no reason.
To make them look as animal. And some people don't want to do it. He's ready to die than to kiss his legs or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's depends on the situation.
Right.
It's not so, arrogant is not always so bad. It's maybe some cases people so feeling he is not ready to be down. He want to die with his head up.
Right, okay.
It's not for everybody, of course. You're right. It's life is Judaism, life is so important. You can maybe to do everything to keep his life. But
yeah,
it's not for everybody. Some people
really
is not ready to be humiliated.
Okay, I hear. But it shows us like what happens when you're so arrogant, when you're so engulfed in arrogance that you can't.
No, but it's aggro. In some cases, can be respected for his hate.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of strong man. His hate is no border. This is a great example how people can hate.
Right.
Without any, there is actually no big reason. Is it anti-Semitic? There's no big reason.
They don't even know what a Jew is.
Yeah.
They hate you because they heard about it, you know, and you're no good. That's all.
Right.
No one says this is what.
Well, no, I think that's
example.
That's what Hitler did with Mein Kampf. He taught them Mein Kampf, and he taught them to hate.
Right.
For no reason.
No.
He didn't have to have a reason.
Mein Kampf have a lot of different reasons why Jews are bad.
Yeah.
This is
Mein Kampf, one of the reasons he raised on Mein Kampf was because...
He hated, but here is a list of different things what is bad with Jews.
Right.
I think it was the ego from Haman. Right, not having somebody to bow down. Because there's people like that. I know people who took their ego really... It's something that is... When I was in high school, they had like precision in high school. You know, if you do something against them, they go to the principal, they tell something, you know, slanderous around the school. And then I think him like that, his ego, he took his ego really onto him. And then there's people who die for it, who die from not having another person have glory.
Look at people here in America that. Trying to take Trump, and that whatever he does is wrong, and they'll say anything to try to get rid of him.
Several years ago, there are a lot of people do the
why
same
do you,
for
why
Obama.
Do you go on Trump?
What Obama does?
Any time that people want to get rid of a president, and they're not just him, was anybody who was there that they didn't like, they wanted to get rid of him.
It's politics is politics.
Trump is a Meshuggah from way back, period. You're a Trump man, Besach Meshuggah.
Because you're a Republican, you like...
He's going to walk home tonight. He doesn't know yet.
You're not a Trump supporter? Out of the car. Right. Okay.
In time in Obama, what Obama did was wrong.
Okay, all right, so let's go.
All right, let's go a little further. It doesn't go in our mind like this.
Yeah, anyway.
But this is not hate, but this is not love. This is something.
It's yeah.
Ego problem.
Right.
Preference. This is minor sin.
Anyway, so it says, so Haman is literally willing to give up his life before he gives this honor to Mordechai. What does Achashverosh say? He says, I will kill you, and he will still give this honor to Mordechai. Right? Now, it's not over yet. Right? Haman is literally getting more and more desperate, and he's finally willing to give up his prized possession, the thing that's most precious to him on earth, which is what? He says, your honor. Remember that decree against the Jews, to kill all the Jews? I'm willing to give up on that decree, right, of killing out all the Jews, and do not make me give this honor to Mordechai. And Achashverosh says, I will annul that decree, and you will still give this honor to Mordechai. Right? Which is, again, so fascinating to see, that we see he's going according to level of importance. First thing he's willing to part with is money. Right? Take my money, and don't make me give this honor to Mordechai. Second, make my son slaves. Right? Third, he's willing to give up his life, at last, after his life, right, he's willing to give up his prized possession of the decree against killing the Jews. Right? That's more important to him than his life. Right? Unbelievable. That's like, you know, like Arkady said, when you hate someone, right, it drives you so crazy that it literally takes over your entire being. Anyway, so now Haman is forced to give this honor to Mordechai. He's got no way out. So he goes over to Mordechai, and Mordechai has no idea what's going on. So he's sitting there, and he thinks, okay, that's it. Haman's coming over to kill me. So he tells his students...
Wait. That's not now. It's in the morning, isn't it?
Yeah, in the morning. Yeah, in the morning. Yeah, yeah. He didn't come to him in the middle of the night. The next morning, he goes over to Mordechai, and Mordechai was, you know, teaching Torah. He was giving a class. So he tells the students, run for your life, right? You know, so Haman will spare you, and I'll deal with Haman. So Haman comes over to Mordechai, and he says, you know, he's like very grudgingly says, well, I have to give you this honor, right? To walk you in the streets of Shushan, right? So now Mordechai understands, oh, wait a minute. There's a decree, right, where Ahasuerus told Haman he's got to give this honor to me, to Mordechai, right? It doesn't say anywhere in the decree that I, Mordechai, have to make it easy for him, right? It doesn't say that. So, Mordechai turns to Haman and he says, okay, you know, listen, part of the decree is that you need to give me the clothes of the king, right? But I'm sorry to say, you know, I was... I didn't take a shower last night, right? It was a long day, yes. And I'm not really clean enough, right? I'm not fit to wear the clothes of the king.
Right.
He was wearing sackcloth, yeah. Right? Wearing sackcloth. He was fasting for the past few days, right? So someone says, okay, you know, I'll bathe you, right? So you know, go to the bathhouse, right? So at some point. Mordechai sends a message to Esther of what's going on, and Esther immediately sends out a queen's decree to close all the bathhouses in the city. Every bathhouse in the city is now closed. So Mordechai turns to Haman and says, well, listen, you know, we tried, didn't work, you know, maybe another time, right? Now Haman, what could he do? The king is forcing him, right? He's gotta fulfill the decree. So he tells Mordechai, well, listen, you know, so go take a shower, you know, go take a shower by yourself. Mordechai says, oh, listen, you know, to me, take a shower by myself, a guy is gonna walk in the streets. It's beneath my honor, right? You, Haman, you shower me, right? So Haman is forced to shower Mordechai, right? And it says that while he was showering Mordechai, he's like moaning and groaning. He can't believe that he has to sink to such depths of showering a Jew, not only a Jew, but his arch enemy, right? And Mordechai says, Zil, you Russia, what are you kvetching about, right? You used to be a bathhouse attendant, right, in a different city called Kartsum, right? Well, what are you complaining about? So they took a shower, right? He shampoos him, he dries him, everything is good. And now Mordechai says, well, guess what? Now we need a haircut, right? I'm going to wear the crown of the king. What?
You're a barber.
Right, you're a barber. You give me a haircut.
He was a professional barber.
Exactly.
Before.
He was a professional barber. So he gives Mordechai a haircut. And finally, Mordechai is all ready. He's all dressed. He's got the crown. He's about to get onto the horse. And he says, listen, you know, I've been fasting for 3 days. I'm really weak. I need some help. Right? I need a stepping stool. I have no koyach. I need a stepping stool to get onto the horse. Right? So Solomon has to now bow down and have Mordechai step on him, on his back, right, to get up to the horse, right? It's unbelievable to see, right? 24 hours ago, Mordechai was going to be executed by Haman, and now Mordechai is stepping on Haman on the way to sit on the king's horse, right? It's unbelievable to see. That's all the theme of Purim. Everything turned around out of nowhere, overnight, literally overnight. Okay, so let's just describe real quick the parade itself, and then we're going to stop. Maybe we'll continue a little more in Purim. So the parade itself was not just, you know, like, you know, Haman, like, you know, a few foot soldiers surrounding him. No. The parade was extremely impressive. It says there were 40,000 foot soldiers walking in front of Mordechai and Haman. In one hand they were holding a golden goblet, in the other one they were holding a shofar, and they were screaming out, this is what will happen to the man that the king wants to honor, right? Unbelievable, unprecedented honor to a Jewish man, right, in Shushan. And as they're walking, everyone knows the famous story, as they're walking, Haman's daughter,
looking out the window,
right? And she sees, you know, someone leading and someone sitting on the horse.
Figures that's going to be.
Exactly. Got to be my father sitting on the horse, right?
That's leading him. And,
exactly.
And
so she takes the
other things.
Exactly. She goes, she takes the pot of...
It's called a chamber pot.
And she pours it over Haman's head, and Haman now smells like a bathroom, right? Back then, they didn't really have deodorant or cologne. So, as he finishes the parade, he's forced to go to the next party with Ahasuerus and Esther, where Esther finally reveals the plot, right, and the annulled
decree.
Did he
have a chance to clean up?
Yeah. No, he didn't have a chance.
He didn't have time to clean up.
Okay, we'll stop here.
Just about.